Before we open God's word, let us begin with a word of prayer. Our gracious and merciful Father in heaven, Lord, we turn unto thee in prayer now. After raising our voices in harmony, singing and praising thy name, and lifting our hearts and our souls unto thee, expressing gratefulness, thankfulness, and joy. But we know, Lord, that thou hast first loved us. Thou hast first shown kindness to us. And we, with grateful hearts, receive from thee thy goodness and thy mercy and thy grace. We thank thee that we can come together to worship thee, for thou art worthy and hast done all things well. We pray, O Lord, that we, thy creation, would hear thy word, that we would receive it in faith, and that thy word would bring about a fruitfulness in our lives that would bring joy to our hearts, joy to thee, the angels in heaven, and to those who are around us as well. Lord, we thank thee for thy precious promises, and we look forward to opening thy word to be reminded again. In Jesus' name, amen. With the Lord's help, I desire that we would read together this morning from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, the last chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, "Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you." And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, "All hail." And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, "Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me." Now, when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, "Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you." So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world." As our brother led us in prayer together, he mentioned several times, he began with stating that we need a Savior. And he ended acknowledging, and we all acknowledge together, that we need the Lord to soften our hearts, to make us ready to hear, to make us willing to obey, and to set our feet in a way that would be pleasing unto him. This chapter that we've read contains the account of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus told his disciples that he would be crucified. He was tried by the chief priests. He was questioned by Pilate. His disciples left him, and he went to the cross. And this is the first day of the week after those events. And we read that something very amazing took place, some miracle of God, this resurrection of Jesus Christ. This, for the believer, brings hope and joy and great gladness to our hearts. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Apostle Paul speaks of the importance of the resurrection. Even as the brother prayed, he mentioned that the gospel is built upon this truth of Christ's death and his resurrection. And Apostle Paul says those very things in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4, he says, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." This is the word of the gospel that is preached, that we need a Savior, and that the Lord has provided. It's the preaching and the teaching of Christ and his death and resurrection that goes forth week after week. We remember it, we hear it, we love it, we cherish it. We long to speak it in a way that would influence those who have not embraced it. We teach our children at home. We bring them to Sunday school so that they could hear. We try through the week with God's help to be an example and to bear witness that Christ, our Lord, has risen from the dead, and show an evidence of this empty tomb that Christ is not in the grave, but he lives and rules and reigns in our hearts. And he is alive, and he has that all the power in heaven and earth. And he has that authority, and he has sent us to go forth, to teach, to be examples, to be a light, so that all would know that there is hope in Jesus Christ, and that this gospel is true. We can preach, we can teach, we can put forth an example, my friend, and we can seek to pass on a heritage and a teaching and our convictions and our faith about the gospel that is an invitation to you. But at the end of the day, we cannot simply pass it along to you. Conviction and faith is not something that you will receive being passive, but is something that you must grab and you must hold on to, that you must embrace yourself, that you must believe and take to heart and make your own. And so we plead. So we pray that the word would come to your heart, that you would hear the Savior knocking, that you would open the door. Apostle Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1 about this gospel. And he tells Timothy, don't be ashamed of this testimony. He says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us, and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. A precious gift that is offered to you, our dear friends, and those that come to hear the word. A purpose and a grace that you are not yet part of, but it's offered. Will you be a partaker? Will you take part? Will you take hold of the invitation of faith and of conviction? Continue reading what Paul says to Timothy. This purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, he continues, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. The message and the truth of the resurrection is a hope of eternal life. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, going back, he says, for since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Contrast the two, Adam and Christ. One that we can have some understanding of with our physical senses. We've seen and experienced a loss in our midst and death. And as we age, we realize that health is failing. Injuries don't get healed as quickly, and this cannot go on forever like this. And there is a day that is appointed for each of us, once to die. But after this, the judgment. But after this short and temporary life here below, there is something after. And that is far greater than the short few years that we're here in this flesh. And it matters very much where we're found. And we read here, in Christ shall all be made alive. That is where we find salvation. In Christ. What does that mean to you and me? I hope it stirs within your heart and my heart a desire to be very close to Him. Very near to what He loves. To abide in what He has said and the instructions He's given us. So much more than following a list of things you're supposed to do or going through a process, but to be close to the living Christ. In Him shall all be made alive, in Him, in His name. It's the only name whereby we find salvation. And so the resurrection gives great hope of eternal life. When a soul in faith entrusts him or herself into the hands of the living God, in faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and abides in Him, He is their salvation, He is their life. He means everything. And that is a good state to be in when we close our eyes in death. But to be in Christ is also a blessing in this life as well. There is hope and promise. And Apostle Paul desired that the church would understand this. And he prayed for them to understand this great heritage. Not just of a promise of eternal life, far, maybe for some of you young ones, it seems so far away. But for today, the Lord living in your heart, guiding and instructing your life, is an influence that brings change and rebirth. And Apostle Paul told the Ephesians, in Ephesians chapter 1, he prayed for the church that they would understand this living power, this power of the resurrection that was able to work in their lives. In this prayer in chapter 1, verse 19 and 20, he prays that the church would understand, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. That is a power, a resurrection power, a changing power that is beyond what we can understand with human knowledge. It's a power that comes into our life through faith, but it is a real power, and it makes a difference. It's a power that is described here as a resurrection power, one that brings one from life, from death to life, from a life that is dead in sin to a life that is alive in Christ Jesus our Lord, and obtains that hope and dwells in that hope. So Paul, going back to 2 Timothy, is encouraging Timothy to be steadfast in the gospel. It brought suffering into Paul's life. He says, "Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." Take a pause there and be reminded that in the difficulty and the hardship, in surrendering ourselves before the Lord, that there is a hope, and that by God's grace, Apostle Paul, by faith, would be persuaded. That's available for you. You don't need to sit and wallow in despair and hopelessness. You can have a hope. You can have an assurance. But it is only in Christ. He is able. What a comfort that is to our hearts. How many times have you and I tried to do something and found that we have been weak? We're not able to. We failed. We are in need, even as we prayed. We are in need of someone to be our help. When it comes to the things of life and truth and salvation, and all things that come from that, Christ is our help. Christ is the one in whom we believe. Christ is the one on whom we can rely, in whom we can trust, and whom we can find rest. And it goes very much against the idea that we make our own way or that we figure things out on our own. We need the Lord. And in that hope and confidence, in that persuasion, Apostle Paul speaks to Timothy these words: "Hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus, that good thing which was committed unto thee by the Holy Ghost, that good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us." Take a hold of the gift that is before you. Make the choice to surrender your will, your life, your direction, your friends, and hold fast the form of sound words of the Scripture, the sound words of the gospel that says Jesus Christ died for our sins, not for himself, for us and for me, for you. Why did he care so much? Why did he love so much? Why did he need to pay so high a price? And that is found in that word, our sins. We often want to diminish and distract ourselves from our sin. we've become experts at avoiding the ugliness and the sadness that it brings. Because there's something else to look at, because there's something to capture our attention. But when you think about those that were sitting by the temple, begging, poor and wretched, Peter looked upon the man. You couldn't avoid it. That's maybe a picture of the poorest, the one that is without any help, without any hope. Maybe a better picture of ourself before God than the pictures that we want to present of ourselves to each other. And it would humble our hearts to abide in that and remind ourselves how much we need. So hold fast the form of sound words. Hold fast that truth of the gospel, of what Jesus Christ has done for me, and that he truly did need to do that for me, and that he truly has risen from the dead and gives us hope. And he is alive, and he is able to help those who are tempted, to help them, to overcome, to give them power of the resurrection, that though we were dead in sins, yet we cannot quite explain how he has changed our hearts and purified our conscience and cleansed us, given us new life. Active participation, that is what conviction and faith requires. And if we think about this passage that we've read this morning, that is what's taking place. There's active participation. There's a faith that is at work here in the hearts of these women that are coming. They're coming to the sepulcher, the place where Jesus was buried. They have their plans. But the spiritual, something spiritual takes place, something miraculous. The work of God takes place. And the angel appears to roll away the stone to show them that Jesus Christ had risen. And there's, in this account, there's presented to us two different groups. And I would think that this invites us to put ourselves into these groups. Which one am I? Which one are you? There's a group of soldiers that are standing at the tomb. They're close to where Jesus' body is. But they're told to be there, and they're required to be there, and they're being there just because they have to. They are brought under a fear that paralyzes them and makes them stuck. And they cannot make any progress. They cannot move. They cannot do anything. And there's another group, a group of women who may be trembling. But the angel says this word of comfort. He says to them, "I know that ye seek Jesus." And they are able, in their fear, they're able to hear. They're able to hear the instruction. They're able to be comforted. And then mix this fear with great joy as they go forth. And I think the thing that stuck out to me when we were reading the most is that they listened, they obeyed, and then they saw their Lord. Now, which of the two are you and I? The word calls you to an active participation. We would far rather persuade you, don't just go through the motions and do what you're told as you're supposed to, though there's times to do that. But to have the heart that is seeking Jesus. What a comfort that the angel knew their intention. Sometimes we struggle with that intention and motive, and are we quite there? The Lord knows. The Lord knows. Now, when you hear, do you obey? When you hear the call to repent and believe the gospel, do you obey? If you do, this story sort of tells you what to expect. That as you go forth in obedience and trusting that word, in that simple faith, the Lord will make himself known to you. And he will repeat the things that you know. He will strengthen you. And it's beautiful that the women go on in obedience. And we see that they told the disciples exactly what they were supposed to say, the message that they were supposed to share. And they were made ready. They went and met him too. We need the Lord. We need him every hour. The word has brought to light the need to be an active participant. And the truth that God blesses that faith with his presence, with his help, for whatever we are going through. Is his grace sufficient? Is the gospel, the message of hope of Christ dying for our sins and rising from the dead? That is a glorious message and a message of hope and truth. And may we take the time to consider, am I part of that story? And he alive and at work even today in my heart and life. May the Lord add his blessing to this word. Amen.
Think what Peter's denial robbed him of, and the unbelief of the disciples, likewise, the opportunity that they lost. They could have been in the courts to testify of who Jesus is. They could have been at Calvary to protest the crime of his crucifixion. But they were afraid. And they denied, they didn't believe. And more than that, they were robbed of this opportunity to sit at the tomb, knowing that he was going to rise on the third day, to see him when he arose from the dead. But they didn't believe. They didn't believe. And so, what does yours and mine faith lead us to? And what does lack of it rob me of? A testimony of who he is and who I am in him. If we lose that testimony, you know, Peter and John went racing to the tomb. The women, they came, even though they didn't believe, they didn't come to see a risen Christ. They came to honor him as one whom they loved. And the angels who had heralded his birth had heralded his resurrection as well. And it's now that you and I have been given. Yes, we've been given, as we see here. Go and teach all nations. It's called the Great Commission. And we know that Peter preached the resurrection at Pentecost. Paul preached it on Mars Hill. Paul preached it to Agrippa. Paul preached it to the nations, to the barbarian and to the Greek, to the bond and the free, to the rich and the poor, to the great and the small. He preached the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Death no longer was something to be feared. Do you fear death? Because it is Christianity alone that can point to an empty tomb and say, our Savior is risen. But the lack of faith robs us of much. Many blessings, many witnesses. And in the end, what are we left with? Jesus, at his ascension, said to his disciples who were gathered around him, he said, you will receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Their faith led them all, except for John, to gruesome deaths. Jesus says, I am with you, he says here. He was with them in death. He is with them in life. Those are the promises that we have. Who else can give us that? Who else can give us a promise that I am going to be with you in those dark... The darkness of death is removed. It's removed. There's no need to fear. That's what Paul preached, the resurrection. And it needs to give unto each of us a confidence that these words of Christ, all power is given unto... We have to love that. To hear Jesus say, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth, and I am with you. I know I've said that many times, but that's what the word here. And he says, go and teach. How are you and I going to teach someone to observe what Jesus said if we don't observe it ourselves? You know what we become? The world loves. The unbeliever loves to attach this to us. Hypocrites. Hypocrites. You're preaching a Jesus that you yourself do not believe in. I said, well, yeah, I believe. Well, to believe is to follow him. So may we be renewed. May our the hope that he gives to the hopeless. That's to you, my dear friend. You are hopeless right now. Right now, you're hopeless. But this word gives you hope only if you embrace it and follow him. And then we can observe, as it says, all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And then the promise is, I am with you, the one in whom all power is given. What a blessed promise. And it's something that you and I must embrace and love. and serve him with all of our hearts in order to receive the blessing of passing from this life into death with no fear, and the darkness of death is banished forever from us. May he bless his word this morning and this day upon each of our hearts. Amen.